You know, our local listeners will probably remember you best from your appearances here in Toledo with the Toledo Symphony over the past couple of years. It's wonderful to hear this new recording from you. Two violin concertos, one of which I feel like I know fairly well. The other one I didn't know at all before I started listening to your recording of it, the Johannes Brahms and the George Ligeti. I wonder if you can start out by telling us why you decided to pair these two concertos on one recording.
Well, I felt that having such a strong contrast between two pieces can be very refreshing and also illuminating, because it kind of, brings attention to what makes each style unique and each of these languages special, but also some things in common, maybe a little bit more than one might expect at first. For example, the references to Hungarian folk music that are found in various places in the Ligeti, folk rhythms and scales, and at one point a fragment of like a Csárdás gypsy theme. And Brahms, of course, was really fascinated by Hungarian and gypsy music, and the last movement of the Brahms concerto is kind of a Hungarian dance. So that's one thing. Another thing is that both of them spent a lot of time studying Renaissance counterpoint and early Baroque music, and in the Ligeti concerto, that can really be seen in the second movement, which is a little bit like a medieval chant. In the Brahms, I think it's actually present in all of Brahms' music, and so in his harmonic language, that in some ways there are elements that go back to Baroque and Renaissance in how he in his language, and particularly his incredible attention to counterpoint and voice leading, and the way that he writes. So there are certain parallels, but of course, the differences between the two pieces are more obvious, because once the Ligeti starts, it actually starts at the beginning. We think maybe we're still in D major, because it starts with open strings, but then we're in a totally different world of overtones and kind of very different colors than the Brahms.
I don't think you can bring any expectations to the Ligeti concerto, because it takes so many different turns. It's a constant surprise. I would also say there's a great sense of humor that I hear in the Ligeti, and we know Brahms had a great sense of humor as well, but one of the things that I think unites these two concertos, at least on this recording, is you and your playing, which is so elegant in the Brahms, so that the moments where you have, you know, like the kind of romantic phrases, turns of phrase, really stand out in your playing. And I sense that profiting the Ligeti concerto as well, your sound and your approach. Did you do anything differently in the way that you technically approached these two concertos, or was it the same for you?
Well, it's a good question. Well, the technical challenges are very, very different between the two pieces, because I think throughout music history, composers were always pushing the envelope in terms of what they were asking of violinists technically. So by the time you get to Ligeti, it really is asking for a lot. It's really, really challenging from a technical point of view. So that, of course, affects how we practice for it. I would actually say, in some ways, so the Brahms was a pianist, not a violinist. So a lot of his lines are very easy on the piano. The violin part, if played on the piano, lies incredibly well. On the violin, it's rather awkward. So because pianists use all five fingers on each hand, whereas we use four fingers on our left hand. So it's like almost like we miss. If we had an extra finger, then the Brahms concerto would be a lot easier. So there is that's where the technical challenges kind of come from. But ultimately, Brahms was not interested in writing a virtuoso vehicle a piece kind of for violinists to show off with. He was just interested in, I think, the sound of the violin, which is very, very singing, and which Brahms was, always writing very, often writing very, very songful music. And the relationship between the violin and the other instruments, which is very chamber music-like, actually. It's not really, the orchestra doesn't really have such an accompanimental role. It's quite back and forth. And I think he was more interested in writing that sort of piece, which is the reason why when the Brahms was first written and premiered, not every violinist embraced it. And in fact, Pablo de Sarasate was quite, he like really rejected it. He said, to play a piece where the most beautiful theme in the second movement is played by the oboe and never by the violin, that's just outrageous. He can't possibly perform a piece like that. It was, and basically every other composer, it's true, would have given that theme to the violin because it's a violin concerto. But in a way, this is what makes the Brahms concerto unique. It's not like all the other pieces. And it was very influential. Many of the great composers later on kind of followed in Brahms's footsteps, not so much in, the other model would have been maybe Mendelssohn or Tchaikovsky, a kind of slightly more soloistical concerto. But many people kind of followed Brahms's example to think only about music, not really about the violinistic qualities.
Can you talk a little bit about the cadenza that you wrote for the Brahms? Because not every violinist comes along who can write their own cadenza anymore. It seems to be a little bit of a lost art. But you've been doing it for a while with other concertos, yes?
Yes, I got into writing my own cadenzas with the Mozart concertos. And it started because I was a little bit frustrated with the ones that were already available, which were very, very romantic in style. And I felt like they didn't quite fit into the piece. And so then I thought, maybe I should try my own. And I found it very interesting and enjoyable and fun. And I think it's too bad that this tradition kind of stopped, because 100 years ago, every soloist was writing something and making cadenzas. And it was quite a normal part of what we do. And I think it can, there is room for many more cadenzas. In the case of the Brahms, it became very canonical to play always the Joachim cadenza. Joseph Joachim, of course, is the violinist that the Brahms concerto was dedicated to. So, and he wrote a very, very good cadenza, and that's, it's natural why many people are playing it. But after many years of playing it, I felt like it was time for a change for me. So I, for a while, I played a cadenza by Fritz Kreisler also, which is wonderful. And there are some other choices, but then I eventually decided to write my own. And it's definitely much more difficult than writing a cadenza for a Mozart concerto, because Brahms is such a master of form, of counterpoints, of just, of compositional technique. His compositional technique is just so great. And so it's quite a difficult style to write in. But of course, I'm using the material from the first movement, and it was a very interesting and enjoyable process to basically maybe look at the piece with slightly different eyes again, as I was writing the cadenza and trying to find the right shape for the cadenza, the right, and also bring back a few places that is some of my favorite music in the piece that only happens once. And so I bring it back as an echo in the cadenza. So,
yeah, I like that idea that you want to play it again, so you bring it back.
Right.
Speaking of difficult cadenzas, you want to talk about the Thomas Addis cadenza for the Ligeti concerto, which is a really, it's an unusual cadenza in that it happens almost at the very end of the entire concerto. And then the orchestra comes in with like a little comic relief at the very end. It's some funny noises that they make, and then it's over.
Yeah, they play another 12 notes maybe, but it's not, it's almost almost no music after the cadenza. Yeah, it's a very unusual ending to put the cadenza at the very end. And before this, the cadenzas that existed before Ardes wrote his cadenza, because Ligeti didn't write his own, he kind of also left it open. I felt that sometimes the ending of the piece came as a bit of a surprise, or it was a little puzzling. It was like, oh, now it's over. That was strange. And I think Ardes understood that what was needed was a cadenza that really provides, I don't know, a culmination of the whole concerto, where all the themes and elements of the entire concerto are played again in a kind of heightened, with this heightened excitement. It's really, really frantic and crazy. And there's a really beautiful calm moment again where the Czardos gypsy theme comes back. And it's just, but basically all these things kind of chase each other, and it finally leads to the ending of the piece in, I think, a slightly more logical way. Because if it was really, if the violin had like kind of like an ending and then the orchestra comes back in with just these 12 notes, then it's a little bit like, oh, that's a strange way to end the piece. And so I felt that I was very convinced when I saw this Ardes cadenza. I felt like, oh, that's, you know, Thomas Ardes, I think one of his great strengths as a composer is that he is really, really great at form, at understanding how to structure things, how to end them. And so I think he was the right person to write this cadenza, and somebody who knew the Ligeti Violin Concerto very, very well, because Ligeti is one of his compositional influences also and role models.
What was your introduction to the Ligeti Concerto? Have you been playing it for a while? Or
I first learned it in 2006, back when I was a student. I started to work on it, and then I first performed it in 2012. I've been kind of putting it away and taking it back, and by the time I made this recording in 2018, I had performed it quite a lot of times. But obviously, it's not a piece that gets programmed as much as the Brahms. So it's not like I'm playing Ligeti every single week. You know, it's maybe sometimes I might play it a few times in one season and then put it down and then pick it back up a little bit later. But and by the time I did this recording, I had spent quite a lot of time with the piece, and I feel that there's something really special about this piece, and maybe particularly actually when it's played live, when seeing it live, because it is a little bit of a spectacle to see it all unfold, and there's so many unusual sounds and beautiful colors and just changes of character, and it's really I think will always remain a fascinating piece.
Violinist Augustin Haralich, a new recording of the Brahms and Georges Ligeti concertos, wonderful pairing and great music, wonderful performance. The Norwegian Radio Orchestra, Miguel Harth Bedoya conducting. Augustin, thank you so much for joining us here on FM 91.
Thank you so much.